We're reading this morning from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 22, and verse 30. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Bible said, and this is the Lord speaking, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none." God was looking for a special man. And I thought, now what would such a man be like? Come on, church. Amen. I mean, what would it take? What requirements would it take to be pleasing to God? In the book of Samuel, the Bible says in the 16th chapter, 1 Samuel, if you want to read it, the Lord said to Samuel, "How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill now thine horn with oil and go, and I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons." Amen. God had chosen one in this family, and He's sending Samuel down to anoint him king. Come on, church. Amen. Fourth verse, "Samuel did that which the Lord spake, came to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming, said, 'Comest thou peaceably?' He said, 'Peaceably. I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves.'" I better not get on that, had I. "Come with me to the sacrifice." And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass that when they were come, he looked on Eliab and said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." Woo! Amen. Now, I have a very vivid imagination, brethren. It's very active, amen. And in my mind, amen, I see Eliab as a big man. Tall, broad-shouldered. A man among men, you might say. Probably 6 foot or better, brother. At us, amen. Broad-shouldered. Well-versed in the art of war. Impressive. Come on, church. And Samuel said, "Sweet Lamb..." Well, he didn't say this, but he said, "Sweet Lamb of God, this has to be the man of God. This has to be the one that God has chosen." And the Lord said, "Whoa, Samuel, sit down. Look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature." He may have been nearly 7 foot tall. I don't know. He's a big man. "I don't want you to look on his height, because I have refused him." He'd already chosen Saul, who was taller than everybody else in town. Hello? That didn't work. Of course, I don't think God chose him because of that. Amen. But he said, "I refused him, for the Lord seeth not as man seeth. Man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on his heart." Amen. So then Jesse called Abinadab, my second eldest, and made him pass before Samuel. Samuel said, "Neither hath the Lord chosen this. He's nearly as tall as Eliab. I can't help it. I don't want him." He don't measure up. Come on, church. And then Shammai to pass by. I don't want him either. My Lord, these are my three best and you don't want them? No. And again, Jesse made seven more of his sons. Seven sons, that's 10 sons, to pass before Samuel. Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen these. But this is the best I got. Samuel looked at Jesse and he said, are here all thy children? Is this all you got? It's the best I have got. Well, the Lord don't want any of them. You ain't got no more? Oh, yeah, I got a runt out there watching the sheep. Hello? He's just a kid, though. He ain't even started shaving yet. Woo! Come on now. There remaineth the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. Samuel said to Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he comes. Hither. He sent and brought him. Now he was ruddy and with all of beautiful countenance and goodly to look at. Are you sure? I mean, he's kind of young. Ain't started shaving yet. And his voice ain't changed yet. He still talks with the squeak. All right. Surely this couldn't be the one that the Lord wants, but go get him. Woo! I don't know if Eliab had to go get him or Abinadab or who did, but whoever did. Can you imagine him choosing David? Can you imagine him choosing David? Phew. Samuel looked up and here he come. A little squirt. A lad. Probably looked like Jimmy Decker, only a lot skinnier. You know, blonde and, you know. You know what God said? Oh, God. Arise and anoint him, for this is him. This is the one that I have chosen. Come on, church. Oh, God. The runt, yes. God picked David. And as Paul Harvey says, you know the rest of the story. Huh? Come on. Well, I am persuaded this morning that God is still looking for men. I'm persuaded that he's looking for a certain man, a special people. Amen. Come on, church. Amen. God is still looking. Well, what is he looking for? What is he looking for? Come on, church. He's looking for somebody. Who's he looking for? Jesus said to the woman, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Lord. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jew. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. Did you hear what the Bible said? Amen. The Bible said the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is seeking for a true worshiper. I don't care how tall he is. I don't care how short he is. I don't care how fat he is. Sweet Lamb of God, ain't we glad? Amen. Hello? Come on, church. Amen. I don't care if he's blonde-headed. I don't care if he's blue-eyed. I don't care if he's brown-eyed. I don't care if, sweet Lamb of God, if it's an Indian, I can use him too. If he is a true worshiper. Woo! So then, this old Indian said, now, what comprises, what does it take to make a true worshiper. And I notice what Jesus said. He just said, true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. I believe that Jesus was setting up the criteria that would describe a true worshiper and distinguish them from all the rest of those that just think they're worshiping God. What do you mean, preacher? He said, true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. Meaning that despite the circumstances, the true worshiper will worship God anyhow. In spite of the situation that life has brought their way, the true worshiper is going to worship God anyhow. You know, a lot of people think they're real true worshipers of God. Amen. Until they get in a trial. Woo, now you're getting quiet. You feel the fire coming on, don't you? Amen. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, our fathers understood not the wonders, thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies. They provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up, so he led them through the depths, as through the wilderness. He saved them from the hand of him that hated them, and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. And the waters covered their enemies, and there's not one of them left. And the Bible said, then believed they his words, and they sang his praise. They worshiped God. Anybody can worship God in those times. Come on now. I can shout when God parts the Red Sea and lets me walk through on dry ground. Woo! Come on now. Anybody can. Amen. That's got a brain in their head. Come on now. Amen. But life is not always going to be this way. Huh? Brother Griffin, I wish I could say that everything's been a bed of roses. I wish I could, but I'd be lying to you. I went to a fellowship meeting one day, and I sat down beside Ralph Cox, and Ralph was sitting there, and I seen you down, and I said, what's the matter, Ralph? He said, I just don't know. I just don't know. I just tell you, life sometimes, you just can't hardly stand it. I said, oh, no, what in the world is Ralph run into? I said, Ralph, what's the matter? He said, oh, I tried to mow my lawn today. I jerked on that thing that nearly jerked my insides out. It never would start. I never did get the rat, and here I am at this fellowship meeting, and I said, you better get a hold of it. You know you're going to preach last. He said, you're right. I better get prayed through, hadn't I? Amen. I mean, even preachers have bad days. Did you know that? Oh, I know we're supposed to come and have the victory all the time. And God help the poor preachers that don't come. I mean, you know, if I'd done like a lot of folks do in testimony service, or when I ask them to sing a special song, I'd just get up, I ain't got a message tonight, I believe I'll just go home. Y'all do whatever you want to do. Woo! Come on, church! Yeah, we can worship God in camp meeting, but we ain't going to be here in camp meeting with just one more day. This is it! And some of you, if you don't shout today, you won't shout till next year. Huh? You won't worship. Come on here. Wife don't like me to tell this, but I always do. Amen. I bought the wife a dresser, an old blue dresser. Somebody painted it blue. And Brother Rocky, the drawers on the top of that thing, you couldn't hardly get them out. I mean, you just had to. I mean, you've seen, you know. You had them in Indiana. Well, sweet Lamb of God. Devil's up here too, is he? And Mona despised that thing. One day she went to town, went somewhere. And I thought, Leon, why don't you fix that thing and get this over with? So I jerked them drawers out of there, and I turned them over. I sanded them off. I slicked them up. I put soap on them things. I mean, I made it where you could just... She come home and went over to get something out of that drawer. She got a hold of that thing and said, ouch. Come on, church, we're all going to have a blue dresser in this life. Will we worship God? Huh? Yeah, we can do that then. But it ain't always going to be that way. What about then? Let me tell you something. If the only time you can praise God, amen, is when everything's going your way, you ain't got a whole lot. Huh? Come on now. You're not what God is looking for. I said you're not what God is looking for. Woo! Sweet Lamb of God. Oh, Brother Leon, amen. So, you know, when we was in the service, we used to despise the National Guard. They only come out there on the weekends and twice a summer. And if you're doing that, don't take this wrong, amen. Come on here. Amen. We called them, you know, we called them weekend warriors. Man, have we got them in the... had some of them in my church at Mount Tabor, amen. They said, they stood and said, testify, preach on being faithful. So they got out and let us know that they were faithful. They was there every Sunday and there. I said, yeah, but we have church on Wednesdays and Saturdays too. So you're only coming half the time, so you're only 50%. And then sometimes when there's error, they wouldn't get in, so that made it less and less and less. Come on, church. So, you know, I mean, God's looking for and wants more than a fair-weather worshiper. So which are we? Come on, a fair-weather worshiper or a true worshiper of God? I'm glad you asked. Somebody said, well, now, what is a true worshiper? I'm glad you asked that. I asked it, so in case you didn't, I would. So now we'll go on. Amen, okay? All right, the Bible said, and it came to pass after these things, that God did tempt Abraham. He said to Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. Most of them said, I better make sure this is God. He said, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest. Get thee to the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I shall tell thee of. The weekend warrior is going to quit right here. Hello? Or at least fast and put out a fleece before the Lord and all the other things that we go through when God talks to us and argue. Hello? But Abraham is what is known as a true worshiper. The Bible said that Abraham laid in bed till noon. No, it didn't, did it? Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, rose up and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and he saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, abide ye here with the ass. I and the lad will go yonder, and weep and mourn. And he said, worship. I'm reading out of an Indian Bible. Anybody got that? Amen. That's Genesis 22, I think it is. Amen. Y'all look in your Bible and see if yours says worship. Let me see here. W-O-R-S-H-I-P. That's what mine says. Is that what yours says? Keith, does yours say that? Well, I guess it's the Bible then, isn't it? Huh? Come on, church. Take your only son, whom you love. Take it yonder. Sacrifice it to me. I am the ladder going yonder in worship. Oh, God.
true worshiper will worship God no matter what God has asked him to give up. I mean, he's being asked to give up Isaac. And all he asked you to do was give up your television.
Oh, God. Oh, God. I can't remember.
Are you hearing me this morning? All God asked you to do is quit looking like the world. But I like my hair all frizzed up and cut off, and I love my jewelry. Oh, y'all don't know what it is to give up jewelry. Hey, man, us Indians love it. The more we can get on, we like it. We like the silver and the turquoise, you know. Come on, church. And Brother Jimmy, we could say, but it's our custom to wear turquoise and silver. Well, we wouldn't want you to give up your custom. I'm sure it was a custom of that day and time not to offer up your son, amen, for sacrifice. Come on, church. But Abraham said, I'm going and I'm going to worship God. And I'm going to take the sacrifice and we're going to worship God. Wonder what it'd be, amen, if we give up what God has asked us to give up and worship him while we're doing it. I was preaching a meeting somewhere. You don't need to know where. Amen. This lady in the church was griping and complaining because she had to have long hair. Amen. To be a Christian. It's such a trouble. And, you know, she's of the faith where you can't have it hanging down. I ain't going to get into that. I never did tell nobody that. I told them as long as they didn't cut it, I didn't care where it hung or how high it was. Hello? Come on, but anyhow, she said I had to stay up to 2 o'clock Saturday. Hey, man, Brother Collins, and put it up. You know you was there, I believe. Hey, man. And she said, and then by the time I get it dried, hey, man, and put up again, it's time to get up and cook bread. She said, it is a pain. And I said, sister, I'm going to pray that God will help you. What do you mean? I said, I'm going to ask him to send you baldness. You don't never have to worry about fixing your hair again. She said, what do you suggest? I said, why don't you try worshiping God while you're washing it out and putting it up? That Saturday night, I was staying with them, but them, I'm laying in there where they had me sleeping. All I heard, I heard somebody dancing up and down the hall, a shouting and a carrying on. I opened the door and there she was, her hair streaming behind her. She was praising God for the glory that God had allowed her to have on her head. Woo! Come on, church, why don't we worship God while we sacrifice? This sacrifice will no longer be sacrifice. It'll be worship. Yeah, a true worshiper just goes ahead and gives it up and shouts while he's doing it. Woo! If I've got it right, Brother Don Rich was preaching in Alabama at a camp meeting, and he had preached on holiness every night. And you know how Don Rich can preach on holiness. Come the last night of the meeting, he said, I've never preached a camp meeting this way, where I had to preach on holiness every night. And he said, here we are at the last night. And he said, I'm going to preach on it again, because you all need it so bad. Brother Willie Gentry was in that association. They had TVs. Hello. He preached so hard on it that night. Willie went home that night and jerked that thing out of the wall, put it in the garage, preparation to take it away. And Steve Gentry, his son, said, Daddy, that ain't enough. He went out there and took that big antenna down. Amen. Said, I don't want it up there no longer. I mean, they come out and they were shouting while they were doing it. My God in heaven, church, if God asks you to give something up, you know what you ought to do? You ought to shout that God told you to do it. Amen. He could just leave you alone and let you go on in your sin and never say a word and send you to hell justified. Amen. Because of sin. Praise God. Praise God, he told me this was wrong. Hallelujah, I get to get rid of it for judgment. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise. Come on, church, praise God. Amen, worship him. When I first took Mount Tabor, amen, it was in the fall, amen, and the circus come to town with the fair and all that. Are you all out there? And they said to me, said, Brother Buzzard, are you going to the fair? I said, no, I'm saved. I don't go to places like that. All right. Oh, well, we're just going down to see the cows. I said, you want to see cows? Come out here. There's some on the other side of the fence over here. We're going to look at the quilts, too. I said, I think wife's got a few if you want to look at them. Wife wanted to look at the fruit, you know, they got put up. I said, I believe that some of the ladies in the church can bring some of that to church if you want to look at jars of fruit.
All right.
Y'all are getting quiet on me here. Oh, come on, church. We use a lot of excuses to mingle and mess with the world. And God has told us to separate ourselves. We ought to shout about it. I don't know about other preachers. I don't believe in going to Six Flags over anything. I don't believe in going to Disney World. I don't believe in fooling around with that junk. Come on now. Well, there in Hot Springs, we had Magic Springs. And that's all it was. It was just a miniature Six Flag, you know. Brother, that's all it was. And I don't go to them things. I preach against it. Come on now. Well, one of the girls in the church went over there. I mean, they went anyway. It didn't matter what I said. Come on. Went over there. She come back. She was happy. She said, you'll never guess who I seen it at Magic Springs. And I said, no, I don't suppose I would. I don't know many of them folks. She said, I seen a holiness preacher there. I said, no, you didn't. Yes, I did. I said, no, you didn't. You did not see a holiness preacher there. She said, ain't Brother so-and-so a holiness preacher? I said, I thought he was, but apparently he ain't. Brother Rocky, why would somebody drive 600 miles to come to a miniature place because he didn't think there'd be any Christians there? And I told her, I said, and he didn't see any Christians there either.
All right.
Come on, church, it's about time that we worship God and give up the world. Whatever's in it, I ain't got time for it. Come on now. But it ain't been a sacrifice, it's been a worship service. Woo! I said it's been a worship service to give up the world. That's the way it should be. And there'll never be joy in your heart till you do it with joy. What do you say that man did when he found the pearl of great price? Did he go sell everything that he had? And the Bible said with joy. With joy, did he say it? He said it, amen. Sweet Lamb of God, shed your ring, shed your bracelets, shed your jewelry, amen. Do it with joy, because here's the pearl of great price. Do it with worship in your heart. You'll never miss it. I said you'll never miss it. Come on now.
Well. Sweet name of God. Last shot and it's going pretty good. Thank you, Lord. Let's look at Job here. Truly a true worshiper. Job was a true worshiper. I don't know if I ought to read this whole thing or not. You might not could take all of it, amen. Hello? Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. The Lord said to Satan, whence comest thou? Satan answered the Lord, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. The Lord said to Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? None like him in the earth, the perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Satan answered the Lord, said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side?
Wonder how Satan knew that. He'd been trying to get to Job for a long time. Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth now thy hand now, touch all that he hath, and he'll curse thee to thy face. The Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of God. Satan's always accusing the brethren, isn't he? That's what the Bible said. But Satan is accusing Job of being a fair weather worshiper, of being an opportunistic worshiper. Now get that out of the dictionary. That's a long word. Amen. This means that he just done it because what God was doing for him. Come on now. A superficial worshiper. Sure, Job was worshiping God. And Satan said, sure, Job is serving you, but not because he loves you, but only because of what you have done for him. Take it all away, and he'll spit in your face. He'll curse you to your face. God said, I see you haven't met up with the true worshiper yet. Go ahead. Go ahead. Just leave him alone. Just go ahead and do whatever you want to. Oh, don't Satan know how to pour it on? Amen. And so Satan did. We know the story. I'm not going to read all that to you. He lost everything that he had, even his own children. The answer of Job, when he got all this, the Bible said, then Job arose, rent his mantle and shaved his head, fell on the ground. Said, somebody call my lawyer. He said to God, you sure ain't been fair. All my life I've worshipped you, and all my life I've served you, and this is what I get out of the deal? The Bible said he worshipped. He said God gave, and the Lord had taken away. Blessed. Blessed. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, though God slay me, yet when I trust him, when I can't see him in front of me or in back of me, or on the left or the right, I'm going to worship him anyway. I'm going to walk just like I've always walked. And when this is done, I'll come forth as gold. Come on, church. Amen. My God. Amen. Some of us can't hardly stand it if somebody don't shake our hand. I'm not coming to church no more. Bless God, they wouldn't even shake my hand. Inside that, they didn't sing my song tonight. Well, sweet Lamb of God, we sung it every night for a year. Amen. Come on, church. What if life doesn't always be good? What if you have... I know some people got mad and quit church because they had a flat tire coming to the house of God. Huh? And the thing was didn't have any tread left on it, you know. I mean, they was expecting Brother Bill for it to keep on going when they was just driving on air. Amen. Oh, God. Are you a true worshiper? Does everything always have to be the way you want it in order for you to get into the service? on now. I've got two daughters backslid. The devil torments me with that all the time. I told Mona, I've got to get beyond that. At least there's hope for them. Job's children were gone. Are you hearing me? There was no more praying for them. They're gone. And he sacrificed for them every morning just in case. But Brother Jimmy, they're gone. And he's worshiping God. I dare say this morning, I dare say that Brother Joe and Brother Ralph have praised God going down the road. I thought about what you said, Brother Rocky. I'm sure Ralph is calling that back to memory. I'm sure the devil's trying to tell me, what about a year, two, or three back? What? Sorry, I just remember him laying there and raising his hand and praising God. It's all I can remember. I'm sorry, I can't see that. Hello? The true worshiper's eyes are focused on God. The true worshiper's eyes are focused on what He has done for them. Come on here. We don't ponder and we don't keep that in our mind. Come on here. Come on here. The Lord asked me to go through something. I told Him I thought I could take it. I did. But I went into depression. I'm sad to say I laid in my bed. Mona come in there and said, I said, get out of here. Leave me alone. Just leave me alone. She said, Leon, you told others. I said, I know I did, but I wasn't here. They say confession's good for the soul. I'm emptying my soul to y'all this morning, if you don't mind. Huh? Brother Dalton, the devil came to me and said, you have wasted your whole life living for God. You don't own a home. You don't have a thing. You ain't got nothing in the bank. You're $10,000 in debt. Not only that, you're too old to do anything. And he said to me, and your daughters are lost. What has serving God done for you? And I said, Lord, my daughters are lost. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, son, if you've got the four sons that are still preaching the gospel, I said, look out, devil, I'm coming out of here. In 4 months' time, I was free of debt. Didn't owe dimes. Come on, church. He is God. Let's worship Him. Let's don't listen to the devil. Come on now. Come on, church. A true worshiper will focus on God. See, now you can say it. Well, if I'd have still been there, I couldn't. Hello? I'm feeling good whether you are or not. Lord, have mercy. Already preached almost an hour. Amen? Got about halfway through here. Amen? God's looking for somebody. He's looking for somebody. Listen to this. The Bible says, Jesus went thence, departed to the coast of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast. I always like to preach on her because, you know, I preached on the men now and lifted them up, and the women folks are sitting there, you know, feeling, all right, I got you coming up. Y'all can shout now. Cried to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. Brother Leon, I've prayed about this at least twice, and I can't seem to get an answer. I believe I'll just quit and give up. He answered her not a word. Huh? He ain't talking to her. Amen? And then... the disciples or the church came to him, hello, and said, send her away, for she crieth after us. Not only does the Lord not talk to her, the rest of the church says, we don't want you here. You're out of here, man. You just don't part your hair the way we do. The knot on the back of your head is not up high enough, or it's not low enough, or whatever. And my Lord, is she wearing red shoes? Her timepiece is in the wrong place. She has on a shiny belt buckle. She's not our kind. She's from the wrong side of the tracks, Brother Rocky. He's just an old hick from the sticks. We want better than that, Lord. Please send her back across the railroad tracks. Hello? You think she heard that? You know she did. Come on now. They meant for her to hear it. She just kept on worshiping. And then the Lord tells her, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In other words, this ain't yours. Huh? Come on now. Come on now. We got some homeless people like that. But we got some preachers that, if you don't meet their little criteria, when you come to the altar, they'll come down and say, there's no use for you to pray. You can't be saved. There's a church down the road somewhere that maybe you might fit in, but you won't fit in this one. Man, don't they know that Jesus can make anybody fit in this? Don't you know that Jesus can make you to fit in His church? Somebody said, preacher, I don't believe that. I don't think you got any Bible for that. Well, thank you, Lord. He just brought a script in my mind, and that's what I want to read to you. In case you're wondering where it's at, it's the 13th chapter of Acts. Amen. Hello? Listen to this. Will you listen to this? Listen to this. The Bible says, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sin. Now, who's he talking about? He's talking about he whom God raised up, saw no corrupted. He's talking about Jesus Christ. Huh? Amen? The forgiveness of sins. Now, in case you white people don't know what forgiveness means, I'm going to tell you what it means. It means that you are guilty, but you don't have to pay the penalty.